Good morning. Welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church here in chilly Elkview, West Virginia on this Lord's Day, Sunday, November 30th, 2025. It's the last day of November and it's the first Sunday of Advent season. And we are excited for all those who join us online. And as we have said many times, we are pleasantly surprised how far this broadcast carries us. If you were in our building here today, we got a small number, and you would see this is nothing more than a cell phone on a tripod. But God can use this technology to do amazing things, and we're always thankful for all of our online folks that join us. And as always, if you have a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you. Put it in the comments section or click that like button. Let us know that you're there. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you have any questions, you can also reach us at our website, 3milewest.com, the number 3, 3milewest.com. And we'd be happy to hear from you. This morning's message is called Two Early Miracles. Two, as in T-W-O, the number two. Two Early Miracles. As I said, today is the first Sunday of Advent. And after today, there are only 3 more Sundays before Christmas Day. Now that news might sober up some of us who have not yet begun our Christmas shopping. But we are reminded by God's Word that this Advent season is a celebration of some very special events that took place 2,000 years ago, not the least of which is the birth of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are here in the 21st century, we have the added benefit of knowing the end of the story. We possess a completed New Testament, like a compilation of firsthand eyewitness accounts that give us a viewing portal into the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the beginning of his miraculous birth, through his early years, through his 3-year earthly ministry, concluding with his crucifixion and resurrection, we know the entire story. But every great story deserves to be heard again and again. You know, we do this all the time with our streaming services. When we find a TV series that we dearly love, we don't have a problem going back and watching the whole series all over again. When we do, we learn all kinds of new information that somehow we missed the first time. And of all the stories that have ever been written, there is none more special, none more important than the story of the birth of Jesus. So if you will, let's all go back to season 1, episode 1, as we learn not only about the birth of a baby boy, but rather 2 baby boys. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 1 from the New International Version. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents of their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house today, it's our desire to teach your word properly, to open up your word, Father, to learn, to be inspired, to be motivated, God, to be more Christ-like every day. Father, guide me as I teach this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. And there's a lot of information to unpack in this first passage. We learn about an elderly couple, husband and wife, named Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Bible says that both of them are considered righteous in the eyes of God. Think about that. Both of them are born sinners from the lineage of Adam, just like us, and yet God declares them righteous. I want you to think about that. They're both old, and they've never had any children. And I would think, on a quick side note, today it can be a bitter truth for many couples who are trying to have children but are not able to do so. And that same reality has likely also been in the minds of Zechariah and Elizabeth for all of their married lives. And back in those days, it was considered a disgrace for a woman who was unable to bear children for her husband, as we will read in just a few verses. And for this older couple, the idea of having a child wasn't even on the radar screen. In their minds, that ship has already sailed. But God sends an angel to Zechariah to communicate a new reality, where even in their later years, God is enabling them to give birth to a child, a baby boy. And who is this child? This baby boy is none other than John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who the angel predicts will be great in the sight of the Lord. In fact, many years later, Jesus says that among all the human men living on the earth, none is greater than John the Baptist. Jesus himself said that in Matthew 11:11. John will know that his God-given purpose in life is to prepare the way for the Lord. That's Mark chapter 1. To announce the coming of Jesus' earthly ministry. Remember what John the Baptist says about Jesus? John the Baptist says that the one who is coming is so immensely great. John says, I'm not even worthy of untying his shoes. That's John 1:27. Well, let's get back to the story. Let's see how old Zechariah responds to this amazing news from the angel. Luke 1:18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Old Zechariah, he would have done well to remember the Old Testament story of Abraham and Sarah. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were old too. And God had miraculously enabled Sarah to give birth. But instead, old Zechariah questions and doubts what he's just heard. Hey, angel dude, are you sure you got the right guy? And because of his doubtful response, the angel, who identifies himself as Gabriel, tells Zechariah that he will temporarily be unable to speak until the birth of John takes place. And in the next few verses, we see the fulfillment of Gabriel's prophecy, Luke 1:23. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Did you hear what Elizabeth just said? All of her married life, Elizabeth has felt disgraced among people because she wanted children but could not have them. But there's a principle here. No matter how long a bad condition, no matter how long a bad situation can endure and remain in our lives, our God has demonstrated that He can take it all away in one instant. Our God can make everything new. And as it turns out, our God still specializes in the restoration business. And our God isn't done with Gabriel, as we continue reading in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And just like the angel Gabriel did earlier with Zechariah, he comes back to earth 6 months later, and Gabriel delivers an information-packed message to Mary. And this message is a whopper. Could you imagine hearing something like this? "Mary, you are highly favored with God. Mary, you do not be afraid. Mary, you are going to be pregnant. Mary, your baby boy will be called the Son of God. Mary, your child is none other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose kingdom will never end." I would say this message must have been really heavy in the heart of Mary. The angel Gabriel reveals that God Himself is coming in the flesh in the same manner that every one of us came into this world. But listen to Mary's response to Gabriel. Mary's response is quite different than what we heard from old Zechariah 6 months earlier. Luke 1 verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary's response is different. Mary asks Gabriel a question of how, but it's not a question of doubt. It's not a question of unbelief. And Gabriel explains that she will become pregnant through the Holy Spirit's work and with the protection of God. And Gabriel says, "No word from God will ever fail." This passage reveals the truth of the supernatural virgin birth that is so fundamental to the Christian faith. And if you'll allow me just a quick sidebar discussion here. You know, I'm hearing that some pundits, some podcasters today are telling their Christian followers that they should distance themselves from this crazy idea that Jesus was born of a virgin. These guys are denying the virgin birth, which the Bible clearly defines as a supernatural event. Let me be blunt with everybody hearing my voice. Anyone who tells you that the Bible is wrong, anyone who tells you that it just can't possibly be true, anyone who tells you that they've got better information than what's here in God's Word, that person is someone you should remove from your list of podcasts. You might consider canceling the YouTube subscription for that particular person. And why am I saying this? I'm saying this because it has become fashionable today. It's very stylish today for so-called Christian leaders to promote their own special knowledge Then they put their special knowledge above the Word of God. And I will say that is an extremely dangerous position to take. And we should not be listening to such people. And I would encourage everyone to exercise good discernment when we consume information about the Bible from all these different content creators. Jesus was born of a virgin. We know this. Do you know the Bible says that Mary and Elizabeth are related? Some translations actually say that they are cousins. I want you to listen to this amazing interaction between these two women who possibly both become miraculously pregnant just a few months apart. The Bible does not say the timing for Mary, but it's possible they were both pregnant at the same time. Mary comes to visit Elizabeth and to stay with her as we continue reading in verse 39. Verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." You know, something tells me that Elizabeth is a truly remarkable woman, full of insight, full of reverence for our God. Elizabeth gleefully explains to Mary that her unborn baby John has just leaped for joy inside the womb. And I presume this is a wonderful bonding moment between these two women. And then they stayed together in the same place for the next 3 months. And in the next 10 verses, Mary glorifies God with some just spectacular, beautiful language. I want you to hear these words beginning in verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.'" End quote. Verse 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Just like Elizabeth, I believe Mary is also a remarkable woman of faith who exhibits proper reverence for our God. Our God handpicks both of these women, not because they are rich and famous, not because they are influential, not because they have big followings. No. God chooses Mary and Elizabeth because they are righteous women who know God and who choose to follow his ways and not the ways of the world. You know, our God is not impressed. He's not impressed by the things that we are sometimes impressed by. Our God is not impressed by sneaky politicians and company CEOs and professional athletes and people with PhDs. God's not impressed. Our God looks at the heart. The Bible says that God knows the heart of man. The Bible says that God knows the hearts of men and women. And God chooses Mary and Elizabeth because their hearts are pure. And their lives are lived righteously because they trust God instead of trusting the world. And to mention social media one more time, I hear a lot of what I call worldly wisdom today. I see this all the time on Facebook or Instagram, sometimes in my YouTube feed. This worldly wisdom, it's all over social media. It's in the news. It's on YouTube. The world thinks that it has somehow cornered the market on wise words and wise living. But the harsh reality is that the world hates God. The world hates God's word. The world wants us to abandon the truth of the Bible for a counterfeit version. And I'm telling you, that counterfeit version comes directly from the pits of hell. Mary and Elizabeth both say no to the world and yes to God. That's the right decision. The Bible says everyone who believes in God will never be put to shame. Those words are found both in Isaiah 28:16, and then Paul repeated them in Romans 10 verse 11. Alright, fast forward 3 months. 3 months later, Elizabeth is now 9 months pregnant. Let's continue this beautiful story in verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." Verse 61, they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Oh yes, the family. Have you noticed? Whenever a baby's about to be born, the family just loves to give their opinions on what the name should be. Have you seen this in your life? Some things never change. "What do you mean his name is John? John, we don't have anybody with that name in our family." So being family, they're not sold on this name John, so they think, hey, maybe there's still a chance. Let's go check with the father and see if we can knock some sense into these people. Maybe we can name this boy something different. Maybe we can name him something better. Maybe we can name him something more honorable to the family. Oh, maybe there's a little bit of selfish pride within the family. But remember, old Zechariah is still unable to speak. And he has to use hand signs. And he has to write things down on tablets, what he wants to say. So let's see what he says in verse 62. "Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, 'His name is John.' Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, 'What then is this child going to be?' For the Lord's hand was with him." And like I said, we know the end of the story. We know what's going on with John the Baptist. And I imagine the family is telling old Zechariah, "Hey man, you know, your wife has been through a lot of trauma lately. You know, after all, she's just been through one of those geriatric pregnancies." Mm-hmm. Yep. "So, by the way, we got a name picked out for him. Hey, dude, we're going to honor you. How about Zechariah Jr.? You like that?" Zechariah, though, I imagine he's probably regretting his earlier response 9 months before to the angel telling him, "Hey, your wife's going to be pregnant." The angel said this child's name is going to be John. So Zechariah says, "That's what we're going to name him. It's John." And the family's blown away by this response. You know, in the next 13 verses, the Bible says that Zechariah becomes filled with the Holy Spirit and he gives praise to our God. John the Baptist is born just as the angel Gabriel had prophesied. And on the day of John's birth, it is possible that Mary has been pregnant for 3 months. We don't know the timing, but it is entirely possible. Let's keep reading in verse 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And these words are heavy and full of prophetic truth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah fully comprehends some very deep knowledge about our God. Zechariah knows that God always fulfills his promises and covenants. Zechariah knows that his son John will be a prophet that will prepare the way for the earthly ministry of Jesus. Zechariah knows that John's message will be one of repentance, leading to salvation from sin. Not just salvation from an invading army, not just salvation from certain death, but ultimate salvation from sin, a spiritual salvation. Zechariah knows the heart of God as he explains how God extends mercy to all people, including those who live in spiritual darkness. Zechariah knows that God's path is one of peace. Well, Zechariah explains to us that our God has enabled us to live without fear so that we can properly follow him with lives of holiness, lives of righteousness. And then the very final verse of Luke chapter 1, the Bible reads, verse 80, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. And if we do a sneak peek two chapters later in the book of Luke, we'll call that episode 3, chapter 3, we see where John the Baptist becomes an adult and travels all over the country to deliver a message of repentance. That was his purpose in life. John the Baptist tells the people that the Messiah is coming soon, exactly as was prophesied by the angel Gabriel, before he was even born. And once again, we see the consistency within God's word. Once again, we see prophecies being fulfilled exactly as they were described. Once again, we see perfect continuity within the Bible as it was written by the Holy Spirit. Perfect continuity. You might be asking, hey, Pastor Matt, what about the birth of Jesus? Isn't that what the whole Christmas message is about? And I'm going to say, yes. Yes, it is. And I can dogmatically say that we will cover the birth of Jesus next time. Next time, as we continue studying from the book of Luke. And as we close here today, I would ask everyone to go and read the first chapter of Luke. It's a long chapter, 80 verses. We went through almost all of it today. Go and read the first chapter of Luke and consider God's purpose in everything that you read. There is profound meaning in God's word. His word moves us and inspires us in ways that nothing else can. And as I mentioned earlier, we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus comes humbly as a baby, but there is great purpose to all of it. Great purpose. We know that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, and his perfect death perfectly satisfied the perfect wrath of a perfect God the Father. The theme from this story and from the entire Bible is God's redemptive plan for his people. That's the whole point. We see God's plan of redemption in the entire Bible. It's critically important for us, but it's also important for God. Why? Why did God choose to execute this plan of redemption? I'm going to say once again, we see a pattern. We see a continuous pattern in the Bible of God acting for his glory and for our good. For his glory and for our good. And as we close here today, if you are hearing my voice and you've never turned to God to be delivered from your sin, You can do that today. You can be declared righteous. You can be given hope in the future. Pray right now for God to forgive you from all of your sins and promise that you will turn away from your old life and turn to your new life in Jesus. Amen. Our God knows how to make all things new. Our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who prophesied the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus is the same God we serve today. Amen. I'm telling you, you need to turn to Him today if you've never done so. Don't wait another day. Let's pray. Father, You are a great and awesome God. Lord, this is an amazing story from Luke chapter 1. Father, supernatural visits from angels, supernatural births, prophecies being fulfilled, amazing truths, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking amazing truths about You. What an awesome story, Father. Father, we know this was all part of Your plan. John the Baptist leading the way for the Messiah that was coming. We know many were saved because of the message of John the Baptist. And Lord, we are so thankful for Your ultimate plan of redemption. Father, for Your glory and for our good, You put this plan into place. And although salvation is free to us, it was very costly to You. Father, we thank You so much for this sacrifice that You made for Your glory and for our good. Father, we pray that You would continue to be with us as we move forward in this series. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.